Welcome back to Hitch Route, week 4 predictions episode. Alex, how you feeling about this upcoming week of games, my friend?
It's a pretty good week of games, I gotta say, friend. How do you feel yourself, Rob?
I feel that while it's fun to pick these games, it's not fun to pick a particular game among them to be your survivor pick this week.
It's almost as though we're in a survivor pool where something like that would matter.
Fancy that. Never would have guessed.
Well, let's see. Yeah, a lot of these games could go either way, and that's apparent in the way you and I called these games. We have so many differences this week.
Yeah, we also have plenty of similarities. So without further ado, why don't we jump into those similarities and differences, shall we?
I suppose we shall. Thursday night football. Dolphins at Bengals. I'm taking the Dolphins, man.
And why are you taking the Dolphins?
Because I've seen what they've done over 3 weeks. And I don't think that the Bengals are fully back into form yet. Plus, they have a short week, and the Bengals, I mean, both of them, in a way, had to recover from their Sunday wins. But I think Bengals had more health concerns, generally. And I don't know. I just think that I'm not going to choose them just because they're wearing their new alt-whites.
But the alt-whites, They're the alt-whites, man.
They are the alt-whites, and that helmet is sick. But the Dolphin teal blues are still one of the best standard jerseys in the NFL.
They're the alt-whites. The alt-whites the fans have literally been clamoring for years, and which they're finally getting in no less than 24 hours. I kid you not.
Yeah, but that doesn't make their O-line better.
No, it does not. Nor does painting the logo in the center of the field white, nor does painting the seats white as the fans are sitting in them on Thursday night.
Did they actually paint the seats white? I didn't think they did.
They're not just painting the seats white, they're painting the fans white who are in the seats.
They don't have to do any painting for that. The fans are already very white in Cincinnati.
Hold still. Hold still. We missed one.
Yes, I'm the one black person in southeastern Ohio.
I'm the one black dude. Yeah, but getting back to the actual game, I mean, yes, as stunning as those white uniforms will be, and as quite chic as those teal blue Dolphins uniforms, mark you, are going to be as well under the Thursday night lights, I got to give it to the Bengals, man. I mean, they're just, you know, I think they have caught up. I think they've caught up to their own struggles during the offseason between Joe Burrow's appendectomy. What a fun word to say. Not a fun procedure to be had, though. All of the new pieces on the offensive line, which I think are finally starting to gel together. They're at home. Those fans are going to be crazy. The Dolphins, meanwhile, are coming off of a wildly emotional win over their division rival Bills, which I kind of feel like that's the game that they were building toward. Although Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle perhaps were building toward a win over the Ravens secondary, I could argue. But at the same time, you know, that was a pretty wild win for the porpoises down south. And I don't know, man. I think tigers can swim too. Maybe not as well as porpoises, but tigers can hang with them in whichever terrain the battle finds itself upon. And in this particular battle, I think those tigers are going to reign victorious.
Very well. Moving on to Vikings at Saints. You and I are aligned on this one. We both went Saints. But I would say, in general, I think the Vikings are better. So why did I go Saints? I just think that they're due a win. And I think that they had one stolen from them last week, and they've been focusing on this game because this is an important one to set the ship right.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you just said. You know, really interesting rivalry here. I would argue this is one of those intra-conference rivalries that's not technically a division rivalry, obviously, between all of the playoff battles they've had over the years. Many players of which on both rosters are still there from all of those, you know, previous playoff battles. So there's a history between these two teams. I think they match up very well against one another. Their schemes are very complementary. And I'm with you, man. I think the Saints didn't appreciate getting punched in the mouth last week. And I think the Vikings, meanwhile, are also coming off a very exciting and satisfying win over their division rival Lions. And as such, I think it's the perfect recipe for the Saints to pick up a W here.
Yeah, and home field always helps. Who dat?
Who day?
Who day?
Moving on then. Browns at Falcons. What a game that, like, I have so little interest in.
I don't have much to say on this one. I think the Browns are clearly a better team. And the Falcons already won a game, so I can't fathom predicting the Falcons winning two games in a row this season.
Yes, the Falcons got their one win. They're set for this year.
They're not set for this year. They're set for the first quarter of the year at the very minimum.
They might be set for this year, dude. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Let's not outthink the room here. The Browns are clearly the superior roster. I honestly couldn't believe the betting line in this game. The Falcons getting as much respect as they did after just having to go west and having to eke out a win over the lowly Seahawks. Albeit at their stadium, you know, not the least impressive win that we've ever seen, but, you know, at the same time, the Browns.
Looking at you, Texans at Bears.
Don't worry, Texans at Bears. We'll get to you in just a moment. Yeah, I'm with you all the way. The Cleveland Browns handle the Falcons.
Yeah. Moving on to, while not a prime time game, one of the best matchups of the week. Bills,
yes.
And Ravens.
Yes, dear NFL.
Teams in the AFC.
Dear NFL, why is this game being played at 1 o'clock p.m.? Answer me, schedule makers. How did you arrive at this conclusion?
Because they were tired and they assumed Kirk Cousins was on one of these rosters.
Now, Frum King, we know that the schedule makers don't respect Kirk Cousins. Because if they respected Kirk Cousins, they would backload all of his primetime games, flex him out of all of them when the time came, and then only give him afternoon windows in the playoffs so that he literally did not have to play after 4:30 until the Super Bowl. At which point he would have been screwed, but at least he would have gotten to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And this is a purple team in an afternoon game. The schedule makers did their job correctly as far as I'm concerned. Nevertheless, I think that this is going to be a very good game, and the Bills are in a good position to bounce back after losing dramatically to a butt-punting team.
Indeed. Indeed. Shout out to the butt punters. We'll catch you tomorrow night on Prime Video. This is one of two games this week where there could potentially be some meteorological implications. Obviously, the other one being Chiefs-Bucks, which we'll get to a bit later. But apparently, some remnants from Hurricane Ian are going to rain down, quite literally, in Baltimore while this game is being played. And as such, I would argue that's potentially advantage Baltimore, simply given the Bills' high-flying passing offense will more than likely be a bit neutralized. Now, that said, so will the Ravens, which has been surprisingly potent this year. But at the same time, if it's the Ravens running game versus the Bills running game, I'm taking the Ravens running game each and every day. Not to mention, you know, the complementary running ability of their quarterback. Obviously, both quarterbacks can run, but at least in the Ravens' case, they have a quarterback who can run, and they have running backs who can run. You know, always nice to have a couple of those on your roster.
First time in about 20 weeks, you can say that about the Ravens.
Indeed. They picked a very, very good time to figure out their running game because they're very much going to need it, I think, on Sunday. But, man, the Bills have been showing a bit of a weakness here. They're not good when you can play them close, or at least, well, yeah. I mean, if you look at them over the past two seasons, I think they're 0-6 in close games, 0-7 in close games, which is, another way of saying that they don't play many close games. But when they do play a close game, and I do believe the Ravens will give them one, if their previous matchups over the last couple of years with Lamar and Josh Allen are any indication, the games are always very close. I think that plays into the Ravens' favor here, and so I'm going to go with the hometown heroes, the purple feathered birds.
That's fair. I just think that the Bills' passing offense won't be fully neutralized, and you're right that the weather could affect that deeply. But if there's no weather, and even with the weather, I still feel like the Bills will find a way to pull through. Moving on, Commanders at Cowboys. Another divisional game, one that I don't think is particularly interesting with very good teams, but the Cowboys have looked better so far. I just can't think that Cooper Rush is going to be undefeated for a third week in a row.
Is Cooper Rush good? Like, I feel like this is the question we need to start asking ourselves. Is this man like a good NFL quarterback?
Well, the league certainly didn't think so, because the Cowboys waived him and all 31 other teams left him unclaimed.
Man, what a mistake, man. Their mistake. I mean,
He's played better than Justin Fields.
Yes, because playing better than Justin Fields is obviously the measure, the foremost indicator of your caliber as a starting quarterback in today's NFL. Sorry, that was very mean to JF1. I don't know, man. I mean, sooner or later, the Cooper Rush party is going to, sooner or later, this party is going to come to an end. I mean, he's a backup, Like how much success can a backup really have? I mean, I suppose we're literally talking about the Cowboys, who literally have arguably the most successful backup of all time on their roster. And so in that regard, could it happen that he is so good that he actually then challenges Dak as the starter next year? I suppose it could. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But at the same time, it's the Commandos. It's the Washington Commandos, a team the Cowboys have owned over the past, I can't even recall how many seasons. It's dating back at least 5 to 6 years. They've owned this team.
Well, they've owned the Redskins and they've owned the football team. There is absolutely no record of them owning the Washington Commanders.
You know what? You're right. I'm going to change my pick. No, I'm just kidding. Cowboys easily handle them. Moving on to the next game.
Seahawks at Lions. Lions are good. Seahawks not good. I go Lions.
This might just be my survivor pick, man. I could not agree with you anymore. The kneecap soup will not go cold 2 weeks in a row. It will not go cold.
The only concern for a survivor pick would be that DeAndre Swift is likely not playing. But with an O-line that good, Jamal Williams will look just fine.
With an O-line that good, Ty Montgomery will look just fine.
With an O-line that good, John Rosberg would look just fine.
With an O-line that good, Lamar Jackson would look just fine.
Got him. Lamar sucks. RB0. Let's go. Yeah, not much else to say here.
Not much else to say.
Moving on, Chargers at Texans. This has to be the week Herbert bounces back. This has to be the week the Chargers right the ship.
From King, do you remember what you said to me while I was deciding on this game? Particularly, do you remember what you said to me while I was actively deciding in the Google form?
I said, the fact that you are flipping through these names back and forth for like 30 seconds says a lot about the condition of the Chargers.
It really does, man. It really does. I mean, what was that last Sunday? That was, I'll tell you what that was. That was embarrassing. That was absolutely flat out embarrassing for the Chargers. Sure. Are the Jags better? Yes, they are. Is Doug Peterson a good coach? Heck yes, he is. But to lose like that, I mean, sure, your quarterback is down. We get it. But your defense, in theory, I mean, I suppose they have some injuries. And they have some injuries to some key guys. But, like, you had some injuries to key guys earlier in the season, and you didn't lose like that. I'm sorry, but I don't know if it's a coaching mismatch or if there is something fundamentally wrong with the culture of this team, such that year in and year out, it seems they lose the games they should not lose, and they're oddly competitive in the games they seemingly should not be competitive in. I'm sorry, but I need to see more. I need to see more from Herbert. I need to know that he's not in pain. I need to see more from Brandon Staley. What the heck is this man doing at times? And yeah, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy who picks the Houston Texans to upset the LA Chargers. Don't at me.
The Texans beat the Chargers last year.
Yes. Yes, they did. And arguably, this is arguably a better Texans team than the one they had last year. Arguably.
Better Chargers team, you know? I just think
they cancel each other out.
They cancel each other out, and I can't see the Chargers losing 2 years in a row to the Texans. Let's take the Chargers.
I certainly can. they haven't shown me anything to suggest otherwise. Titans at Colts. This is always an interesting one. And you know, it's one of those division rivalries that I feel has changed hands over the years. It feels like there are waves when the Colts own the rivalry, just as there are waves when the Titans own the rivalry. And in that regard, I am just really inclined to pick the team that I think is the most hungry for a win, and which at the moment is playing a better brand of football, and that is the Tennessee Titans.
I would say that these teams are equally hungry, and they've been equally awful.
I think it's a bit harsh on the Titans.
The Colts beat the Chiefs. The Titans beat the Raiders.
So we're going to play this game now? We're going to play the game of who'd you beat?
I do think it matters. But my real reason for choosing the Colts is that, as you said, rivalries go back and forth. The Titans owned the Colts last year. I think that switches. And moreover, what we've seen these first few weeks of the season is that if you can shut down Henry, these Titans are doo-doo. And the Indianapolis Colts have the league lowest yards per carry on their defense. And that is why I think they're going to shut down Henry. And then Tannehill's not going to know what to do.
All fair points by you, my friend. We shall find out. I think I think you're absolutely right about, you know, the Titans offense. It certainly runs through Henry, no pun intended. And it still runs through Henry. And but you know, I've seen a more focused Ryan Tannehill so far this season. He's made some really, really nice throws. He's made some really, really nice plays in these first three games. And
yeah, he looks really focused in 41-7.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for just taking my balloon, puncturing it with Quaker's claw, and just completely deflating my parade. Thank you so very much. I was going somewhere so great with that, but you just had to swoop in.
As I always do.
Yes.
Moving on. Do you want to say something?
I do. I do want to say something before you just defeated my parade. I want to say that Ryan Tannehill is a man on a mission this year. He's a man on a mission, and the mission continues Sunday, my friend. The mission continues this Sunday. And the mission is not going to be kind to Matt Ryan.
Thank you so much. Bears at Giants. I can't. I mean, Last week I picked against my Bears because I just didn't want to be disappointed. But I still thought the Bears were honestly probably the better team. This week, I just genuinely think the matchup is in the Giants' favor.
Folks, whenever you find yourself believing that the NFL and all of their corporate sponsors care for you and appreciate you and want you to be happy, just remember that they do not. And the mere fact that they are making you watch this game is yet another piece of evidence of that fact. They are making you watch the Bears face off against the Giants. Yes, they are. That is the thing that they are doing. They are doing that to your eyeballs. How inexplicably rude of them.
Not every game can be Ravens-Bills, okay?
The unmitigated gall, as our friend Stephen A. would say, of the NFL to subject you to this torture. Actually, like I kind of think it's going to be a pretty exciting game, not going to lie. Exciting may not be the right word, but interesting, intriguing in a beautifully messy way.
I think the real word for this game is juicy.
I love it. I can see the juices flowing in this one. But yeah, man, I've got the Bears. I've got da Bears in this one. I think Justin Fields has been hearing it all week about how he's thrown for 297 passing yards through three games, the lowest since the 70s. And he's not happy about all the doubters who are now knocking on his door, telling him that he's not good enough. And for the record, I do think he's good enough. I believe he's more than good enough. I believe his passing numbers are being subdued by the Bears' organizational insistence upon them not passing the ball as much, due in part, for their desire to protect Justin Fields because of this wretched O-line that he is currently passing behind. And so with that in mind, and with the Giants, starting to get, I think, a little bit figured out here, or at least it would seem, coming out of their recent Monday night loss, I think it's the Bears' time to shine. I think the Bears take the dub in this one.
Fair enough. Jaguars at Eagles. I have the Eagles, and you don't. So why are you betting on what could arguably be the most complete team in the NFC losing against the Jaguars at home?
To be honest with you, man, it's really hard for me to do it. Because I am very much a believer in this Eagles team. I've seen this Eagles team in a prior year. They remind me so much of the 2019 Ravens. They are such a matchup problem for literally every team they face, and they run such a unique style of offense that it is so difficult to prepare for in just 3 to 4 days, that in theory, they could run roughshod over everybody. I mean, they could embarrass everyone on their schedule from here on out. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But at the same time, the Jags have suddenly given me cause to pause. I mean, 38 points? 38 points on the Chargers? That defense? Are you kidding me?
That the Jaguars have won their past 2 weeks by a combined score of 52.
Yes, yes. Yes, bear in mind, folks, this is the same Jags team that literally embarrassed the Colts the week earlier, shutting them out to the tune of 22-0. Is this is this Jags team for real? Like, are we watching another hidden beneath the radar superpower emerge before our eyes here?
We just might.
And the other interesting thing is, who is Doug Peterson? An ex-Philadelphia Eagle, of course. Is it possible he has some insights into some of the opposing personnel on the other sideline? And as such, I'm going to go with yet another flyer here. That's right, folks. I am taking the Texans and the Jaguars in the same week. I know. This
Jaguars
is like
are better, but it's the matchup this time.
I know this is something that you're going to need to just take a deep breath. You're going to have to process this. You're going to have to You're going to have to take this into the hot tub with you tonight. I know. I know. And I just want you to know that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because the Texans and the Jags are going to beat the Chargers and the Eagles, respectively.
Fair enough. I don't think you're right on either case, but I see why you say what you say.
I don't know if I think I'm right. I don't know if I think I'm right on either case, but darn, it sounds good on the podcast.
It sure does. Next match, Jets at Steelers.
Not juicy.
As much as I think this game will be disgusting, I think that the Steelers greatly benefit from the fact that Zach Wilson is coming back and he is going to be sluggish out the gates.
Yes, indeed. I also believe the Steelers benefit from the fact that Zach Wilson is Zach Wilson and that he is not a good quarterback. And, you know, this game would be a bit different. You know, this game would certainly be different again if TJ Watt was out there. I mean, honestly, man, that is so much a part of how I now pick Steeler games. Is TJ Watt out there? Is Minka Fitzpatrick out there? If they are both out there, they stand a chance against bottom feeding teams. If they are not out there, I'm not sure they stand a chance against anybody. And I'm sorry, but I just have too much respect for what I believe the Jets are building. I believe they're headed in the right direction. I believe in their GM. I don't know if I believe in their coach. I don't know if I believe in their quarterback. But I do believe in their improving roster trajectory, as well as the Steelers' declining roster trajectory. And in that regard, I am, yes, you are not misunderstanding me, folks. I am picking the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Jets in the same week. The first time in the history of the Hitch Route podcast that any of us can say that.
Truly a trailblazer here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, we've been the bottom feeders for too long. Now it's our time.
And it just all happens to align for week four. Truly.
Indeed. Wonderful. Indeed. Week four. It has been foretold.
This could somehow be the worst week in Survivor history if every one of your premonitions are correct.
Watch them all win, dude. Watch them all actually win.
That would be miraculous.
Dude, like, I'm serious. Like, this NFL is so crazy now that my picks are going to start being more crazy. I'm sorry, but, like, you have to ride crazily with the crazy sometimes, you know? The only way to fight crazy is, in my opinion, with crazy.
Fair enough. Moving on. Cardinals at Panthers. Finally, there is some balance in the world where you and I can agree that one team is more shit than the other. Therefore, we are going to select the Cardinals. Rob's about to come in and say, nah, screw it. Panthers are going to win too. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Texans, Jaguars, Jets, and Panthers all winning in the same week. Yeah.
No. I don't know if, out of respect to the Panthers, I don't know if we can necessarily lump them in with those clowns. Are they their own brand of dysfunctional? Sure. But you know, they were in a Super Bowl not too long ago. You know, I was in college when they were playing in a Super Bowl. They've been back to the playoffs, you know, a handful of times since then. They've had their moments. I'm not ready to crown the Panthers as among the garbage of the NFL. They're certainly not a good team. But then again, I'm not so sure how good of a team the Cardinals are either. So, like, I got to go with the Cardinals because with the Cardinals, at least, I get a more transcendent quarterback. And, you know, the more transcendent quarterback so often is leading in these games. Do they necessarily always win the game? No. But so often they get out to a big lead, and then I would much rather take the transcendent quarterback with the lead as opposed to the non-transcendent quarterback playing from behind. Cardinals over the Panthers.
Moving on, Patriots at Packers. I hate the Packers, as you know. But I just don't see any possibility for the Patriots to beat the Packers without Mac Jones.
Yeah, it's the only thing that could potentially sway this game, and the thing which I am banking on, is the fact that, A, I don't quite believe the Packers' offense is nearly as good as people think it is. And secondly, are we sure Matt LaFleur is a good coach? I mean, are we sure that this man can coach? Because I know Bill Belichick can coach. And, like, you know, I mean, we've seen Bill coach when he's at a quarterback disadvantage. I mean, my goodness. The man is just a coaching phenom. And, you know, he's doing it with scrubs like Mac Jones and, to an even scrubbier extent, Brian Hoyer, who very well might be out there this weekend. So, like, I don't know, man. I'm not very high on the Packers. I'm just not high on the Packers, and I do believe this is a coaching mismatch. And it could potentially be a bit of a schematic mismatch. So I'm going with the Patriots, man. I am Mr. Contrary Opinion this week because I think they could all come true.
I would be very happy if you were correct. I just like to be grounded in reality when I make my predictions.
And I would be breathtakingly pissed off if I was correct. Because for gosh sakes, you are the Packers. You are Aaron Rodgers. Beat this Patriots team. Beat this pathetic Patriots team, Aaron. But unfortunately, I just don't have the faith that you will.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the league's survivor pick. So if you are correct, so many other people will be seething with rage.
Earn your $250 million, Aaron, and beat this Patriots team that has no business being on the same field as you. Do it for me, Aaron. Do it for me.
Okay, then. Moving on. Broncos at Raiders. You and I are aligned, and we both picked the team that is 0-3 to beat the team that is 2-1. Isn't that something?
You know, man, desperation is a powerful thing. Desperation is a powerful thing, and especially in the NFL. The Raiders are fighting for their season in week 4. If they lose this game, then
they are done for.
Then quite frankly, they should be your non-playoff selection for next week. They should be your next team to not make the playoffs. I've already picked them not to, because I think 0-3 itself is an omen of death, you know, in its own right. But 0-4, all bets are off. It's over. It's over if they lose this game. And I'm sorry, but the Broncos, I don't get the Broncos, man. I really don't. I just don't buy it that Russ is washed. I just don't buy it. Do I buy that he's not running as much? Absolutely. We can all see that with our eyes. But he ran a little bit toward the end of that game on Sunday. Has he rediscovered the magic? Is he going to be more and more willing to reach back into his bag of tricks and occasionally mix in some designed and or non-designed runs into his arsenal? I think he could, but I think the Raiders are just going to be hungrier. And with that in mind, it's the Las Vegas Raiders over the Denver Broncos in week 4.
The only thing, no matter what, I can wholeheartedly agree with is that the Raiders are hungrier, especially now that Subway has released the Russell Wilson Danger Witch. They will be feasting on those spicy, dangerous sandwiches. For the record, gentlemen, from what I've heard, I'm pretty sure what danger Russ is referring to in the commercial is simply banana peppers.
Indeed. This is this commercial has been the talk of the town. I need to see it for myself. I'm kind of been slacking here.
You really have been. But it also has been slacking the entire AFC West. That's why this is an interesting game.
You know, that's a really interesting point you bring up. I mean, even the Chiefs had an unbelievable special teams meltdown this weekend. And, like, I would argue they've by far been the most impressive team in the division so far, but...
Low bar to meet for the record.
What?
Low bar to meet for the record.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the now, granted, I do think the Chiefs are, you know, I do believe they should be assessed toward the top of the power rankings overall, but the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Broncos, man, it's been tough sledding for all three of them. And, you know, we saw some chinks in the Chiefs' armor over the weekend. So you're right. That's, you know, this was the division we all expected could potentially be a fireworks show from start to finish. Could it potentially become that? Absolutely. The season is young. But for the time being, kind of looks like the Chiefs are in the driver's seat. Not going to lie.
Yeah, it does look that way. Speaking of which, Chiefs and Buccaneers. There's just such a difficult path of victory for the Buccaneers to win this game that I'm going to have to side with the Chiefs. I tried to fathom a way in which the Buccaneers win, and it would be heavily built on their defense and, you know, Tom Brady being fully in check with his receivers. The problem is that he has Mike Evans coming back off a suspension who might be a bit out of swing because of that suspension. Chris Godwin is most likely missing this game again due to an injury, and Julio Jones might be back. Those pass catchers outside of Mike Evans and Godwin are looking very not juicy. So I just don't have faith in that team beating the Chiefs, especially when they feel like they were punched in the mouth after this last week's loss.
Yeah. Yeah. This game has some added intrigue in that it very well could be played on a neutral site field, specifically U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minneapolis, the home of your division rival Vikings. Should the NFL...
And if that's the should case...
The, you, right, right. Should the NFL determine that the game cannot be safely played at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa? And so with that in mind, there's kind of two different scenarios here. There's the scenario where the galvanized people of Tampa, who have just gone through an unbelievable hardship in their lives, come together in one stadium and are just unbelievably crazy for their team. And there's another scenario where that is completely off the table, as this game is played in the middle of the northern Midwest and, like, nobody cares. So, like, I'm serious. Like, who's going to go to that game in Minneapolis if it's played in Minneapolis? Vikings fans?
It's much closer to Chiefs country than it is Bucks country.
Yes, it is. And I do believe that the game will be moved to Indianapolis. Or, I'm sorry, that the game will be moved to Minneapolis. And therefore, I do believe that it will draw primarily a Chiefs crowd over a Buccaneers crowd. And I believe that may, just may, be the difference in this game. Because think about it. The Bucs are supposed to be playing at home. For them, this is a bigger upheaval than it is for the Chiefs. As far as I'm concerned, the Chiefs now have a shorter road trip if the game is played at U.S. Bank Field. So, like, there's a scenario where this actually kind of functions as, like, an extra home game for the Chiefs, you know, when you really think about it. And beyond all of that, I believe the Chiefs have the health advantage. I believe they are going to be more dialed in coming off of just the way in which they lost that game. If you're Tampa, you know, you kind of did your best based upon the health on the field that you had. Sure, you're pissed off, of course, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's so tough to call. I mean, this game in particular is so tough to call, but I've got to go with the Chiefs, man. I just think from top to bottom, their roster is humming more right now than the Bucs is.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Moving on, though. Monday Night Football, yet another rematch of the McVay-Shanahan era. I think that the Rams have looked like the team that has been firing more on all cylinders than the 49ers, so that's why I'm siding with Sean McVay's group.
Yeah. The 49ers historically have owned this series. Obviously, the Rams, as of late, have started to fire back. But they've only really fired back once. The Rams have only beaten the Niners a single time during the era of McVay and Shanahan coaching these teams. And I kind of think the pendulum's going to swing back the way it historically has. Not necessarily because I think one coach is better than the other, or because one roster is better than the other, but because historically, that's been the way that these things have gone. Not to mention, these Niners are pissed right now. Absolutely pissed by how that game went Sunday night. That was awful. And they know it was awful. And I just think they had a really good week of practice. I think they're hyper focused at the moment. And, you know, I think that's going to show up on Sunday. And what a better draw for them than their hated division rival that cost them a chance at the Super Bowl last year. Niners over the Rams. And Niners over the Rams, for the record, in a very entertaining and thrilling game.
Yeah. This is going to be a good game for sure. But I don't know. I think we're feeling the seeds of dysfunction in San Francisco, honestly. I mean, we heard tape of Kyle Shanahan being told by none other than pretty boy Jimmy Garoppolo that his play calling sucks. Like, clearly there is some discord in there. And I just think that, yes, they're well primed to bounce back, but I think that the Rams, again, have been looking better so far. They are 2-1, and they also just took care of a divisional rival last week.
They arguably should have taken care of them even more if Matt Stafford had not decided to lean more outhouse as opposed to penthouse this week.
I'm betting on a penthouse week this week.
I hope for his sake that he puts up a penthouse week. I mean, my God, they're sloppy. They might be the sloppiest team in the NFL. And it all starts with him, man. It all starts with him. I give him all the credit in the world for how he can bounce back from some horrific mistakes in games. But, like, make less horrific mistakes. It's not difficult. Make less horrific mistakes.
Well, when you sign up with Matt Stafford, you are legally obligated to experience the good, the bad, and the atrociously ugly.
Yes.
That is what they are experiencing.
Can they be in better balance this week? Can we have the penthouse, the outhouse, and the cellar be like in, you know, relatively more equal proportions this time? As opposed to, like, you know, 75% the bad two and 25% the good one?
Guess we'll find out Monday night.
Guess we will.
Well, that just about wraps up the week 4 predictions. And running it back to check with what the two of us have, you and I are only agreeing on 6 of the 16 games this week. High variance. Yes. It's a high variance, yes, for sure.
High variance and a high predisposition on my part to be reckless and crazy.
That's true. Because
I believe that reckless and crazy has prevailed in today's NFL. And so I'm
reckless and crazy season.
It's about time I began riding with that wave.
All right, then. Well, to wrap things up, we'll go back to our playoff team predictions, and each of us will cut another team from our list of teams. Well, to wrap things up, we'll go to our playoff team predictions, and we will each cut one more team that we think isn't going to make the playoffs. You have already revealed what that team is for yourself, Rob. So how about you remind them?
Indeed, I have. The Las Vegas Raiders picked a bad conference in which to be the last 0-3 team in the league. Does 0-3 mean you're still alive in the NFC? I believe it does. But in the AFC, I'm sorry. I think they're dead men walking. And it's really quite a shame because I think the Raiders held a lot of promise this year, and they've been in every game that they've lost so far this season. Could they turn things around? Absolutely they could. But history shows that that's going to be a very uphill climb for them. And as such, they're the team I am selecting this week to be the next team in the lineup of non-playoff teams.
That's fair. I myself am selecting the Houston Texans, the only other winless team in the NFL.
Hmm.
And, you know, I don't have much to say about them to try and advocate for them. They lost to the Bears. That's failure. They lost to the Bears, man. So, yeah, they're not making the playoffs.
New rule. Whenever the Bears beat somebody, we eliminate them the next week.
Remind me to cut the 49ers next week.
Yes. I think Kyle Shanahan's beard got a little bit grayer when you said that.
I think I'm going to let the 49ers have a monsoon exception. But generally speaking, if the Bears beat you, you're done. You're just done.
Yes, they put their curse. They put the curse of Ditka on you. And the curse of Ditka keeps you out of the playoffs.
Yes. And too bad that the entire Chicago Bears organization has been affected by this curse for so long.
That's what happens when you fire Mike Ditka. He puts his curse on you.
He also decides to put random restaurants around Chicago to remind you of his terror.
Indeed. He also decides to give you 35 quarterbacks, none of which are good.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that Jim McMahon was the last Pro Bowl QB we had, but that's not even true because Mitchell Trubisky was an alternate to a Pro Bowl in 2018. Yeah, that's right. We threw 1 year. Mitch looked good enough to be an alternate for the Pro Bowl.
I still think Justin Fields is good, dude. I still think he's going to figure it out. I want
to think so. I'm still hoping. He looked amazing in college. He looked really good at the last half of the season last year. But he has played atrociously through three games. That's right. He has played atrociously. The dogs agree.
Even the dogs agree with that sentiment.
Yeah. Well, this has been Hitch Wrap. It's always great to have you, Rob.
And it's always great to be alongside you, my friend. And look forward to the games. Look forward to chatting with y'all next week to break down the next batch of fun that awaits us this Sunday. And yeah, we hope y'all enjoy the games, and we look forward to talking soon.
Peace out, everyone.
See ya.